Welcome.
Welcome.
To Timeline Talks.
To the Timeline Talks.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Coming to you live in Technicolor from the beautiful Hollywood Hills, California. The show where the total retail price of their advice is $0. This is Timeline Talks.
Yes, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, beings of all planets, races, and creeds. We are here with Timelines Talks, the premium exclusive number one show for all things Star Trek Timelines. I am your host, Andorian Captain Idol, and I am joined by getting himself in the mood, Frank, and joining us once again, Dan the Man, Dan Javin.
Hey.
How are you both doing, my fine friends?
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for the invite back. I don't know why, but I'm glad to be here.
A lot better now.
Oh yeah, that's it. Blinding the light. Anyway, welcome.
We could see all your monitors, Frank.
That's correct.
All of them. We got a lot to go over tonight. We're going to be talking, more importantly, about the equipment and continuum missions feature that was shown off on Ben's live stream a week ago, or within the last week. We're also going to be talking about the latest crew and the crew notes as well. It's a little bit of a light one, but we think we're going to be talking a lot about this continuum mission. But before we do that, a big thanks to our community on the Discord for picking our show title tonight. But we need to find out who is going to win the sub of this week. And we have a new wheel because my old wheel broke, so I had to make a new one. Well, I had to find a website that did a new one. So let's get ready and spin this for a wheel for a sub. It's Genos Adania. Congratulations,
Rigged.
Genos.
Rigged.
Yeah, that's definitely a fix. It has to be. This thing's broken. We need to.
Of all the big book authors, he is certainly better than Nifty.
If anyone wants to, we also did an honor pack pulling session last night for the honor sale, which is now on, which you can go find that on YouTube. So go and have a look at that. There were some interesting choices. Frank's choices were also very informative, very constructive, and well thought out. So it was definitely a good bit. But yes, how guys, we never ask, we never say this at the start, but how are your guys' games going? Frank, do you have Rock and Roller Mariner?
I do.
You do.
No,
you didn't go for it as well. Sorry. No. Frank, click on. You, now I've dropped you in it nice and heartily.
Well, you know, it's nice. I have taken advantage of the honor sale. I have actually pulled some merit packs, and I've cashed in all the premium packs I was sitting on for no reason. So I've got a supply of sites built back up, and I looked at the remaining honor and said, you know, I could spin this honor somehow. I could go into the honor hall, and right now, for the low, low price of I don't know what, I could buy schematics to the Rongovian solar sails ship flagship.
I forgot that was in there. Oh my God.
And I thought about it and I said, no. And so I still don't own that. But otherwise, you know, an honor sale three times, four times a year is always, always welcome. It's fantastic that this happened by accident and Ben never, he said he never meant for it to be a recurring thing. And
it did, didn't it?
The community basically held him at gunpoint and said, oh, my friend. Yes, it's going to be recurring now, so it's the best.
Oh, and this just in, Genos Adanian, the prophet of the honor sale release dates, it says, coming back in December. That's the prediction. That is Mystic Genos's prediction for the next honor sale, so get saving. Do you guys think now we have boss battles and more fleets are accruing more honor because they, you know, going through the cycle of destroying more ultra nightmares and hards, and you get that honor flow. Do you wonder if this is going to change WRG's tactic with honor sales? Because I mean, from now, I mean, people can now get their 10 plus. I know some people managed to get up to about 600,000. I got up to about 400 and something myself. But do you think this is going to change things ever so slightly? Because it seems like their cycle is, you know, they brought in the honor sale, they brought in the fleet boss battles a year ago, and now I wonder if they're going to start looking at that kind of metric.
It seems like they're trying to do a more organic approach where they're giving us more options to spend our honor on that are competitive. So with putting an optimal healer in the honor hall and putting some decent ships to pull on, especially ones that are really topping the arena lately. It seems like those people that really are at the end of in the all frozen behold camp, at least they have some alternatives for fun things to do with their honor. Whether or not it's in the metrics, I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but they're doing it. They've still been releasing Honor Hall crew. There was a little bit of a pause a couple of years ago, and now it's been a pretty steady supply of things to shop for. So I think that's their tactic. I don't foresee them stopping the honor sale, just trying to be more competitive with it.
Mm-hmm. They gave us crew retrieval in the Celestial Market as the answer to the age-old question of how do I get all this crew? And now that we're approaching 1,500 crew, the complaint would always be, well, how do I add stars to these crew? So honor sale being kind of a recurring unofficial thing, every 3 months, allowing you to get sites cheaper and a behold. The behold's really the kicker. That gives a lot of value to people VIP 0 to VIP 15. And no one's ever... no one's ever abused it or ruined it for the community. It's always been like the 100% approval rating. And I just don't see WRG as bemoaning as I can get. And I can badmouth and enjoy to badmouth every time that I get slapped in the face by WRG so many times. I really do honestly feel that Ben... and Joe and team really do have the best interest of people ultimately at the end of the day in their mind. Obviously it's a business and they've got to make a profit, but I really do feel like they're not trying to screw over anybody, and they really do want to help pain points where they can realistically. Because if you look at this game versus other games, even other Star Trek games, they really don't monetize how they could. And I'm grateful for that.
It's more enjoyable in the long run. I think, like, if you look to what we were saying on this show, like, 2 years ago, and be like, oh, we're saying, just like, every week we'll come back and, like, this, why aren't they paying attention to this? Why aren't they doing or anything about this? Like, oh, literally, since over 2023, it's been, like, a turning point for them, sort of, like, we've fixed the voyage things, where, the semi-voyage bug fixed, how you select the ship as well, they've changed that, and then all these little pain points have come out, they've changed, how we can earn honor and how we earn merits, even turning around all the boss battles fairly quick and saying, okay, you can now get military and one in these various hard missions and getting the path to going up. So they have been listening and responding to complaints and being as quick as can. I mean, I know some people want them to do it like snap of a finger, but I feel like we're on a fair pace for, them fixing things for new developments. And I think, long may it continue. Speaking of new developments, shall we talk about the new Continuum missions and equipment? That is not, I'm not missing my E's there. Equipment. Equipment. You can say that three times fast. No, this is the new feature that is supposedly coming out by the end of the year. I believe it should be quarter four-ish, probably likely to be pushed back. These 10 things tend to be. So if it gets to 2024 and people are screaming, where's my feature? That's just what happens. But this is the new feature that is going to enable us to use more crew. Ben had a live stream with a few technical difficulties, and Ben, I've been there. I appreciate how hard that was for yourselves. But from what we got out of it, we got an idea of what this new feature is, and it kind of was what a lot of people theorized from some of the leaks that happened earlier. But Dan, do you want to take us through? You've been doing a bit of homework on this. Do you want to take us through some of the features while I'll bring up some imagery?
I was excited about the idea that we get to run some new missions, and it's been a long requested feature is to get back in the galaxy map and mess around a little bit there. And this isn't exactly what we've been asking for, like an episode 11 or new distress calls, but it's something. And I think that it's kind of a little bit of an older concept to use some sort of generative feature to make your missions for you, but based on how they're doing, they're doing some writing, but I think a lot of the meat and potatoes of the various faction missions is probably already being generated procedurally. So extending that to some away missions and having us run them for some new benefits, really, I mean, it's going to be pretty standard. The way to pay for them looks like we're going to have to either feed some chronotons or just wait before we can actually get in there and run these missions. And there's a time limit. They're going to expire at the end of each week. So there's a little bit of a fear of missing out component to it if we can't get those run and get them maxed out. One of the real interesting kind of low-key things to me was that they're giving huge bonuses to lower star crew. So this actually is a feature that not only the established player can really take advantage of, but even new players are really going to get a huge benefit if they can get in there and at least earn the first few low-level equipment. Then they can take even their default Picard and make them nearly as strong as a maxed-out character. So. Interesting share.
Let's take this back a bit for people that didn't tune in to Ben's stream. So what there are going to be upgrades you can apply to your existing immortalized crew, and he does specify they have to be immortalized. And it looks like he's just got a level on the screen here is a maximum level of 4, so there's going to be maybe multiple tiers of upgrades there. To earn, these will require special items, which you can only get in what are called continuum missions, which are... looks like weekly randomized missions, which is something I'm kind of quite keen on, because away team missions are probably the best part of the game and we don't interact with them far enough. So these are going to be like you've seen in in the cadet missions, in the missions in the storyline, randomized missions of extreme difficulty. I think the one I'm showing here on the screen is giving an engineering level minimum of 1389, and that's like the base difficulty. So this is some of these missions. Ben even said you will need to get equipment from other missions to be able to do this. So I think the random node part of it and the randomized missions is possibly the most interesting part, because this feeds in from fleet boss battles with the whole, people doing nodes, not myself, I'm lazy, I get that. people doing nodes using traits, and traits being very important to the game and one of the key features, definitely appeals to that. But what do you guys think of that one?
I am very intrigued by it, because not just for Nightmare Mode enjoyers, hate all five of you, because
that's
imagine,
true, yeah, I forgot about that.
You know, a new player, Nightmare player, whatever, going through the galaxy map, and for those of us that have done Nightmare Mode, or at least started accounts sooner than 7 years ago, you know very well that you can progress through the map with some basic three-star crew pretty well. And it's not until you get into the epic and elite difficulties that you really need some really high-level crew. And a lot of them, especially episodes 9 and 10 and some of those distress calls, you need one crew, or really now it's three, that are a specific skill and a specific race with a specific bonus, and that's the only way to clear it. So now you're not going to be locked into like this five-star crew that you've got to somehow retrieve to finish off the galaxy map, if that was your option. In theory, hypothesizing, you could take a three-star Garrick and put equipment on him to make him this kick-ass five-star character suddenly, stat-wise, and then you can clear your map. And I think there's a big value to people that aren't spending a lot of money or aren't as progressed in the game as other people that allows them to enjoy more. So just for that reason, I think it's brilliant.
So the end game of this is you get boosts to boost your crew up, which will affect things like gauntlet, shuttle events, galaxy events, everything. So this is the kind of the loop here, is that you will spend time in these away missions to get your equipment to and these should stress as well, these are temporary buffs. And I believe the basic one is something like 24 hours.
24 hours to 7 days, max.
Yeah, 7 days is the, you get the basic rare, the same rarities you get for, your crew item, common, basic, rare, etc. But with the end result being the elite, the legendary ones giving you a 96-hour boost. I can see, my theory is that I can see this upsetting gauntlet a fair bit for those who will spend money on this. Because let's also talk about how this is being monetized. You cannot just run these missions as much as you like. You are limited by another currency, which I forget the name of it. I forgot what you called it. But you get these
qubits, right?
Qubits, yeah. You need these qubits to be able to do them. You get those through these this screen you've got in front of me, which is a set of five cylinders, and they're timed unlocked. You can unlock some with Krons, you can unlock some with dilithium. So there is a limit there, but for those who want to win, or those who are very spendy, and we already criticized faction emissions. Well, I'm thinking spendy in the terms of wanting to win events like faction missions. Exactly. For those people that already do that, this is going to be a no-brainer to do that even more and get more boosts to win more gauntlets, to win more events. Do we think that's going to upset a fair bit, especially for the lower end players who want to get into gauntlet? We know gauntlet's trash. We know gauntlet's crap. Is this going to make it worse?
Noted community tool and of the big book authors, the best big book author, Nifty Mittens, is quoted often as saying, "I am excited for gauntlet fuckery." And this is absolutely going to add gauntlet fuckery to the menu, because people have complained, oh, well, there's a wall of caretakers, there's a wall of guidance, everybody uses the same exclusive crew. Now I can roll up with two. Yeah, I can roll up with 2-star Picard and just like right up there. So I don't know. I think it's great. I think it changes stuff up.
So there's also something on one of the prior screens you shared. The equipment's also, and it's not in the screen shared to us any numbers, but we can actually see there's an equipment bonus LOC ship ability on the right hand side there. So could be the ability to mess around with the arena as well, and take some ridiculous ships with a ridiculous crew and make them insane if we get a good enough bonus. So that'll be fun. Also completely invisible to anybody attacking into that sort of thing. So. Because we can't really see the quality of the crew that are on the ships. Only their little icons.
I think a lot of people say, yeah, changing the meta is going to be in chaos, and it's going to be. I think it's going to be interesting, and it all depends on how quick we can unlock stuff. I can see people stocking up on various equipment. I hate saying that. I just hate saying equipment. It's just not. It doesn't feel right. I feel like I'm going rural and getting my equipment. it depends on how quick they can unlock it, because it looks like we only got the 5 containers, and even if you do dilithium rush it all, you're still gonna have to wait for them to recharge. So it's not going to be a straight away seeing like 2-star bridal Kamala in the gauntlet destroying Locutus straight away. Not that I don't think that's going to happen anyway, but it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be like, Dan, I wanted to ask you about this. Like, from a cab perspective, since you're running the cab tool for the ratings, how do you see yourself working equipment into that and trying to sort of advise players? I know the data core is going to have a fun time with that as well, and a lot of people are formulating ways of trying to put this into like calculations and such.
Yeah, it's a good question. There's a few things that are really going to confound that. First, there's going to be a rotation. So the equipment we start with is not the ones that are going to be remaining. Probably the low-level stuff, that the 2-star, 3-star ones are going to be consistent. But the really game-pushing ones on the 5-star level are probably going to rotate in and out. They're also going to be limited by traits. In a lot of cases, we are shown one that only works with the Starfleet personnel. So we can't really say that these equipment are going to have a sweeping impact across the entire roster. I still think all of the core community tools, cab included, will have to just continue on evaluating based on the hard data that we get in the program. And, you know, we're going to look at those bases and the proficiencies, and the equipment is going to be kind of a fun little lark outside of that to give people a edge when they really want to take it. But I think the crew evaluation still remains the same.
Okay. And that's kind of all that we know so far about equipment. Question in chat, who do you want to boost? Who is the crew that you want to put some equipment on to bring them up to modern relevancy? Is there a bit of an old flame? You guys as well. Is there anyone in particular, like, I'd like to get maybe Human Saru back in the running again after his drop, maybe put him on a voyage. Would you run a voyage for love? Like, would there definitely be a Captain Scott, Genos says. That's for you, Frank, I think.
Well, I mean, and I thought about Captain Scott. I'll be interested to see how it is. I've already said, and it's serious, I'm taking all 6 copies of my Shenzons, and I'm putting all 6 in there and maxing all 6 out to level 4 and making them absolute beasts. And then I'm going to run the world's first 14-hour voyage, and I'm going to do it with 6 copies of Shenzon.
Wow.
And everyone on the forums will be like, oh my god, what's a voyage? because they didn't know Voyages are in the game yet.
No.
But that's okay.
Yes, on that note, I think the forums still aren't aware there's not a sale because Nancy hasn't posted an update for that either yet. So we're slightly behind on communications front as well. That's main run of the mill. That's equipment and so forth. I don't know. I wonder how sick of the loop people get because, I mean, my gameplay is, I mean, I'm not an event player and I hate Gauntlet, so my gameplay is just collecting crew at this point. So this kind of doesn't impact me, but I want to play with it because I like away missions and I like using different crew on away missions. And the idea that we get randomized away missions every week is definitely fun. Like, I think that's great. I like to.
Yeah, this is going to wind up being stockpiled by a lot of players. So just like we do with shuttle tokens, you know, we're going to be sitting on these and waiting for just the right event where we get to pull all of our favorite crew out of the freezer and stick out 24 shuttles completely staffed with a high effectiveness crew. And so for those people that really want to game the game and take an event, this is going to be another way for them to do that. And then it also winds up being a huge leg up for those people right in the middle who just want to get a little bit of an edge, get into the top 1500, top 750. There's a lot of ways to use it. It's really fascinating, and we'll see how it plays out.
Interesting.
No one will win a faction event with it. No one will win a galaxy event, although it will help somebody in maybe the top five because you could, in theory, galaxy missions always have, even if you optimize it, where you put, like, you get three different galaxy missions you can choose from in a galaxy event. You take the two crappy ones that have a bad percentage over here, and you always keep the good one right here. Even that good one could still have the best crew you have only give you a 70%, you know, chance at a rare. In theory, you could boost whatever to be 100% so you get more shots at a rare. That could come into play. You brought it up earlier, Dan. I think that there's probably some ship battle stuff in there that if it really did help in a skirmish, making them faster, they're already so fast. You can only optimize a skirmish so much because there's, like, with the 3x speed and go, it's, you know.
So fast you can tap the screen with your minimized window.
Exactly.
You know, your window at tiny resolutions to make it run that much faster.
Stupid meat interfaces just get in the way every time.
And really, and I say this in jest, but seriously, whatever equipment with a ship boost you can put on, take your crew, can you beat No Name Namer? Can you beat Automaton 2000? I don't think so.
No.
Well, you can now. They're not playing, but now's your chance.
Well, that's true. Now's your chance.
Try.
Many have tried. Someone says the only thing that can help you really is expedition events. This kind of is expedition events now, really, isn't it? If you think about it, this is what it's become. And because you've still got the same limited currency to get in it, that's these, you know, these little cylinders of chronoton juice or qubits are your tokens that let you in to play a mission and then maybe get somewhere. The only difference is that you've got a week instead of 3 days to get it.
Well, they were also, Ben was real careful to point out that there's no exhaustion, and that was one of the things made expeditions arduous, was that your crew get weaker and weaker, and you got to wait for that 24-hour refresh. And now, even if you fail mid mission, by the end, you're still hitting it at full strength.
Yeah. I think this is definitely the bit I'm most excited about, is just running missions again. Because this is my favorite part. It's why people start nightmare accounts. It's why the whole, you know, Genos need to have a rethink about qubits on this, but this is why this whole thing came about, is because we really love this part of the game, which you really only play for a fraction of your time in the game. If you're playing years and years and years, that's probably your first 8 to 10 months, or maybe your first year at most. And then that's it. You're on the grind. So going back to that is great. Although it begs the question, if the next feature comes out, will it... Ooh. Has fallen down?
No, I mean, a thunderstorm just popped up out of nowhere. Who knows?
It's because we're talking about expedition event. He knows. How dare you?
Optimism, Captain.
If the new feature comes around, do you think they will actually finally make a new feature that doesn't already crib on an existing feature? Because, you know, we had, apart from crew retrieval is kind of the only new thing, but fleet boss battles essentially essentially ship battles, this is essentially away teams. If they finally do a new feature, and I mean a new feature, will it be something? Oh no, it'll be Gauntlet
or Voyage.
Or Voyages. Yeah. It'll be Voyage events. Voyage objective events. Score of 14-hour voyage in 12 hours.
When there were 25 people in the office in Framingham, Massachusetts, yes. Now, no. And I say that with love, because I absolutely love all the people that worked there beforehand and the people there now. They're both of them are aces. But yeah, I just don't. I'm shocked that they've had the bandwidth to develop this, and I know a lot of this was developed with the team prior to the layoffs. But still, this is a lot of work for a small studio now to keep churning stuff out. And Ben said in his Q&A stream, hey, this game's not, I've got plans going to year 10. So maybe, who knows?
Big, meaty, muscular legs. I'll say maybe it shouldn't. Maybe this should be the game that we're playing, and these variations on a theme should be exactly how we're using this core game system. I like that we have ways to make our crew very powerful and jam them into a voyage or a shuttle and have them go far. I like the way we have an action-oriented ship battle portion. We have the logic puzzle that Fleet Boss Battles has become, and they're taking all these different elements that go into comprise these cards and really stretching them to the limit and making them very relevant and useful. And I think that's exactly the depth that I want to this game.
But what if we took these cards and they each had a different ability, and we put them on a bottom lane, and our enemy's cards are on a top lane, and we smack. They had different health values, and you could. Yeah, no, you see, no. I quit my Marvel Snap addiction like about a few months back because it was consuming my mind. But if they did that with Star Trek Timelines cards, you've got the cards right there, and they've got stats and stuff, and you could smash them together, Magic the Gathering style.
Could be smashing sparks.
Yes, smash your sparks. Who doesn't love smashing sparks? Where's stars when you need them? okay, yeah, that's equipment continuum missions. How about we talk? I mean, this is the month.
There's nothing wrong with me. Maybe there's something wrong with the universe.
Maybe there is. Can you imagine alternate future where Star Trek Timelines is like a massive hit all through the world, like the same as like Clash Royale or something?
I mean, it was the most popular Star Trek game available anywhere for a while, and Fleet Command technically.
Fleet Command feels like it's cheating, though. It feels like it's just buying its way up there. Yeah, I've been tempted to do a Fleet Command stream just to see what it's like. I remember booting up once and kind of going like, not sure about this. That's mostly because it was Kelvinverse, but now they've kind of branched out. I might have a look at it, but it's a Star Trek game. It's out there. Okay, let's go over some crew that's been coming out. How about let's get rid of the equipment. Let's go for next week's legendary. You can win in... Oh, sorry, no. This week's event, the hybrid event integration, where if you rank to 1,500, you can win yourself a Bank Robber Ta'ana. Another version of the Cation, one of the favorite ones. Also comes alongside Bank Robber Shacks as well in the next event, so they'll be featured in the same event. Sec Command Med, but Voyage Rank 116, slightly lacking. However, a fair amount of collections. What do we think about... I mean, I'm just going to say it first, the art's brilliant. I love the fact that they've done this character as well, because this is a great moment.
And hold on, as part of Automaton 2000... Ta'ana and Shax roleplay bank robbers in the vein of Bonnie and Clyde in the holodeck, where they get into a shootout.
The whole Shax-Ta'ana relationship thing through Lower Decks is hilarious. It's so good. It's like you wouldn't expect it, but then, yeah. I think my favorite part was like in the, what was it, the Naked Time? And they're like, they just come out and she's just basically crawling all over him.
There's a lot of people... one guy, especially on the forums, that hates Lower Decks and hates the fact that they're in this game, and they cannot stand it that we get good cards in their cartoons. The thing I think I'm starting to love the most about Lower Decks as it relates to Timelines is that these little moments happen, and they're already short episodes, but like a 10-second throwaway gag, and we get two great cards out of it.
And there's so much potential for that, isn't there? That like every single scene, like this week's giveaway as well, which we'll go on to in a minute, is emblematic of that. How about the card itself? Is this worth pushing for an event for?
Yeah, I mean, I compete in every skirmish event, so I'm going to get a few copies of, of her at least. I'm a little sad because I just duped my corrupted badgie, and she's pretty much the same card, just a little bit weaker. So that's you know, she'll contribute. There's not a, it's a kind of a less populated triplet, and you know, so it's fine. She'll be on my roster, and I think
good lord,
we get our second Kaishin, which is nice. So yeah,
yes,
yeah, third Kaishin.
That was some thunder. Are we going to be all right, Frank? Are we just going to see like the house fall down around you?
God, I hope not.
He'll still be here.
I'm on the top level, so I could get struck. Who knows?
Just for comparisons as well, yeah, like you mentioned, she's sort of similar skill order to Corrupted Badgie, but just a little bit weaker. But if you picked up Assimilated Bashir recently, she's a little bit better than him. Sitting around, I wouldn't say useless, but with that, you know, that like you say, that skill set is definitely a rare enough that she'd be fairly useful. And it's a great episode. It's a fun moment. What about? And I'm gonna
tell him he's a pretty cat and a good cat.
I've been waiting for someone to use that trigger. Why is my button working? Because I'm pressing the wrong buttons. Let's try that one. There we go. This week as well, at 400k, you can get yourself a Saboteur Garak, the long car that's now sitting in, well, Big Book tier 9. Dan, where is he cab wise?
He's about the same. Yeah, he's
far down.
But,
which is,
but he's an older card. He's aged out. You know, I love this card. This is one of the very first ones I retrieved. I think right off the bat, it was Gary 7, and then immediately after that, I needed a hammer for my ships to start to work my way up arena. So this dude was it. He carries a lot of value, but he's so old. He just has so his power is weak. His skill order is fun, but. He doesn't. He's an interesting choice for this for this competition, I guess. They had to throw somebody in, so it's going to be him.
Yeah, I was going to say this kind of doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of the theme. It's just like but Garak in that, unless the storyline concludes with it. I don't know. I am one of those terrible players that never reads the story, so I really should. If only they had some way of replaying it. But
5-year-old card, well, 4-year-old card, four and a half. Good for fleet boss battles if you don't have another Garak, because it's always one of the other. But
computer.
There's a lot of
erase that entire personal log.
there's a lot of players, I think, both elderly and younger, that have that copy of Garak sitting on their rosters at least 2-5, maybe 3-5. So anything like that. I've long been a proponent for every event unrelated to anything at the 400,000 VP mark. Throw in an old shitty legendary, just a copy, just so people can get a copy.
Yeah.
So that's the way I look at it. It's for a lot of people. It's 550 honor. That's great. Skirmish, you can do that much in 30 minutes. It's not hard.
Well, here's the other thing to look at as well. Now we've got equipment coming. If you're interested in continuum missions, these traits shine brighter than ever because, you know, you say, oh, I need a Saboteur, I need a Cardassian. That's when you start looking at the base. You know, we're going to have a whole category for, like, bases and proficiencies maxed up and that how away teams work, because that's, you know, on a single skill as well, is going to add a whole new dimension to how often these nodes come up, because we don't know if these are going to be set missions either. They say they're going to be randomized week to week, but we don't know if they're going to be like Gauntlet, where there are Gauntlet sets, or are we going to start seeing, you know, are they going to have 52 unique ones over the year, and then the next year another 52? I
wondered if, like, they've got a randomized pool of traits that they pull from, like, the required bonus trait to give you that bump, and then it's going to be something, like, stupid obscure, like Brat, or Lord, or, you know.
Yeah, that's like, that'll fill in somewhere. Then, someone hasn't adjusted the end of the text on that CSV file, and there's, like, some old trait still in there. Prince.
He goes really well in my bridge with Fierce Gynon when we're doing our...
Oh, yeah, the hands off. Is it pointing? Way in chat.
He's crushing your head. Crushing your heads.
it's like crush your head. Also, great episode in A Pale Moonlight. Like, who doesn't love that episode? And the art is brilliant. This is a brilliant Garak for that. Go for it, 400k. Let's see who's next up on the roster. Let's talk about campaigns. This month's campaign is Altered Psyches, something along those lines, which features Leela Kira, who we'll talk a little bit about in a moment, and Caretaker Taurus. Don't think the theme really fits here because she was abducted by the Ocampa and just put in a lab with Harry Kim, which, God bless her, she survived that. But, oh, inhabited, yeah. But, however, we have another Taurus card, and Taurus cards are, you are getting hit by that thunder, aren't you? Voyage rank 45, Klingon, always good to see a Klingon, Psy-Eng Dip. Would you guys, I mean, let's just, okay, put aside the fact that, yeah, you guys probably will buy the campaign, but if you were a newer player or a player who rarely dabbles in the campaigns, looks at that one special crew, is this the one we should go for? Is this the...
Magnificent, isn't she?
Genos likes her.
Yeah, Genos likes her.
I like her too. I think this does what they've been doing for a while. So we've... Since they introduced the Supremium Uber Ultimate campaign, I think there's really been a fear that they would hide the best crew in the game behind a paywall, and Frank pointed this out earlier. They really haven't taken that opportunity. They've done the harder road, which is to keep things well balanced. This is a well balanced card. She's strong, not too strong. She's caretaker, but not too caretaker. Notice she doesn't have the trait.
No, she doesn't.
But the other thing is that she's also a pretty good healer for ship battles too. So she's got a lot of interesting talents, a couple of collections. Everything is there, just not really enough to make everybody open up their wallets. But the people that need her and she offers a lot of value. I'm going to be in. I don't always buy the campaign. I'll be in it for the double value. I always look at the other gold, and we'll talk about her in a second. But yeah, I think this is a buy. She's excellent.
It's the low end of buy, I think, for anybody that actually has to look at the value. But I agree, and it really screams when you look at the avatar for the collection. You look at the theme of the collection. It screams to us that there was supposed to be, you know, Data or you know, a certain captain from the USS Cerritos from the same episode we just talked about with Bank Robber. You know, somebody was supposed to be wearing that mask, I think. And I think that was supposed to be a crew that did not make it. And this was the last second kind of, oh, well, let's sub. Because this thematically doesn't match. But put that aside for a second. They've given us really good Taurus cards for the last year and a half. They've done right with the artwork, skill set, you know, not super heavy on collections, but like you say, there's value kind of everywhere you look. It's not big value. It's not amazing value, but it's going to be useful for quite a few accounts. She'll find you somewhere, but it's not... if people are leaning on the fence and they can only buy one thing this month, I don't know.
How stretched is your budget in this financial crisis? Which freemium game are you going to invest in?
Star Trek Fleet Command.
Absolutely. No, you do that Lower Decks mobile game, which is also a thing. If you like idle games, maybe. I gave up on it fairly easily. This is all right. I actually don't know. I think the better value for this campaign and why you should get it is if you missed her in the event she was in during the... What mega was it? It was the Trill mega. Yeah, the Trill mega. That makes sense. Leela Kira. Kira is the premium version of the premium buy you can get this month. And by God, this card is good. Look at those traits. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 collections. 7 collections in one card that you can get 4 stars on. Even if you don't care about Caretaker Taurus and you just want to get that premium thing, this is one of the only chances I'll say if you don't have this card, jump on this one because she's great. Or wait to retrieve her. I mean, it's up to you. I can't tell you how to live your life. Not your mother.
Not in retrieval, not in the loot tables. She did not make the cutoff because she's too new. A lot of people maybe didn't go for her because her event was competitive.
It was.
This was also the one and only mega where they did the recap packs beforehand.
Oh, so that's recap right, yes.
Packs. She is outstanding. She is arguably the best Kira in the game, but yeah, surrogate Kira, 1A, 1B, they're right up there. For somebody that doesn't have a lot of cards, if you've got $10, spend it, buy 4 copies, use her, she will voyage for you all week. For somebody that has every card, she still rides 3 out of 7 voyages a week for me. So, and if she's not on it, surrogate Kira is. I've got a Kira on every voyage, and she's that good, even at the high game. So, yeah, she's absolutely worth a buy.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I missed that event. I think I was camping, so, oh well. But really happy to see her. And this is the other way that there's really a lot of added value for the campaign is when they choose a non-Portal crew and jam it in there so we can get a second chance at things that aren't going to show up for months and months and months.
I think there's generally some people who complain and say, well, it's been too soon, and I think things like that. But I think in cases like this, that's, you know, if you go for an event and leave it a couple of months. I think the main complaint recently was when they had an Uber Premium crew of Armand Routh Pike, and then they put him in the Premium, but then quickly changed it because everyone was like, well, hang on a minute. that's, as the term is quoted, a slap in the proverbial front end. But yeah, the look of the card's great. This is a good one to get. Let's talk about other Kiras now. Who likes? And we're gonna little peek into the little future here. We're gonna channel our thoughts. We're gonna look out into the future of timelines and wonder what could come after an honor sale. Could it be a standard Tuesday pack? Because we know she's going to be in a pack. We do. We know that. Don't ask us how. We know. Or is it gonna be in a mixed behold, Frank?
Well,
how you feeling?
All I'm gonna say is time to start sniffing markers.
Looks like I picked the wrong time to quit sniffing markers.
Boy, yes. Howdy!
But speaking of powerful Kiras, regardless of source of how to get her, eventually one day she will be in some sort of retrievable fashion.
Brace for hangovers.
Brace for a lithium hangover for this one. She may come with a collection. Who knows? Colonel Kira Nerys, Lower Decks, from the episode where she and Shax reunite with Quark and the crew of the Cerritos on Deep Space Nine, ideally one of my favorite episodes of Season 3. It was a very DS9 episode. Dip Command Sec, very predictable, but that's a Kira trait that she comes with a standard skill set at Voyage Rank 7, which is well up there. How do we feel? How do we feel about this card?
Yeah, so you're buying time on her. So if you want the best and brightest right now, right when it comes out, and you get her and you sight her up, you're good to go, and she'll ride for you for a while. But she is going to drop just like every other command dip sec does. Yeah. And by the time she hits Portal, she won't even be a blip on anybody's radar. So
could not have said it better.
I was reminded recently of Human Saru, who popped up somewhere. I think it was in a Behold, and people were saying, like, my God, that card was bomb when he came out. He was Voyage number 2, right up the top. And then all of a sudden, there was just this huge rush of CDS cards that dropped him to the bottom.
Automaton 2000.
But that's like Genos hits it, and you, Dan, as well, hit it straight on the head. You pay for early adoption. You are, and this is the same with the campaign cards, like, and them being, I think any card you get in these top Voyage rankings that aren't a rare skill set, like, you know, obviously you look at your range meds or your med sec or your med command, like, yeah, you're going to get more time out of those. I think with these cards, you got to look about, you know, this is going to be a collection. Are they going to be useful in continuum missions? Are they going to be some fleet boss battles? I think a lot of Kiras do share those traits, though. I think she's very trait-like compared to someone like Leela Kira, who I think shares all of those, I believe. Does Leela Kira tactician? I don't think so, actually. Let me have a quick look. She was just there. No, Leela Kira isn't tactician, so you've got a little bit of uniqueness there. But still, hey, look, you're paying for premium exclusive, but you aren't going to be paying for this one. I can tell you that now. How many pulls did it take you to get Rock and Roll Mariner, Frank? Asking for a friend.
147.
Ooh. Oh no.
That's a lot.
That was, I had a, in my inbox right now, for those that saw our honor pack pull, available on YouTube right now, yesterday, I have 22 unread messages in my inbox.
I've gotten so many fucking golds. I went 40 packs of Valley Gold today.
And of those 22 messages, 17 are dilithium from various offer wall things. The biggest one was a big one, and I was saving that one day just to show up on a faction event, like on the second or third day when somebody's like spent money and they think they've got it in the bag and they got a couple million lead. And then I was just going to bury him and laugh and just be an asshole for no reason and be like, that dilithium is now gone. So I will not be winning another event. So whoever's going to play a faction event, just you're fine. Once you get a lead and going into day two, don't worry. I'm not going to show up and I'm not going to, don't worry. I really hope that made my luck flip.
It's an elaborate ruse.
It could be. Could be a Romulan plot.
A ploy to start a war.
Never. I hope that my luck is better for Kira and I get her on the second pull. But I will be pulling considerably less than 147. I will say that much.
Why do you keep them in your inbox, all your dilithium rewards?
For a rainy day.
Okay.
Do you also keep...
Should the need happen.
Do you also keep envelopes of cash by your front door just in case? Walk out the door. I might need 500 quid. Let's go.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take that back. Rock and Roll Mariner was last week's Mix Behold. We've spoken about Mix Beholds before. These are just hard work. Why is Romulan plot not working? That's odd. This is not going to go away, these Mix Beholds. I believe Frank is unfortunately encouraging them to do it more often. But it all depends how big the pool is.
I find this whole procedure offensive.
And I find you offensive.
Yep, couldn't have said it better. Okay.
It was a rare one, too, because this is like weird meta behind the scenes curtain shit that no one cares about but like four people. Mm. But it was the longest that a crew had been fully available in the game maxed in like forever. It took 2 hours for somebody to actually pull a copy of Mariner.
That's crazy.
And then, because it was Smok Talai Halai from
Smok Telehele.
TF. And we had to tell Smok, hey, did you know you're the only person to have this card? You should go ahead and first
match. Oh, wow.
So it was like even further down the line. So that that one was a weird occurrence. And I hate the Mixed Beholds. But
because first to max is such a weird thing. Obviously, you're like the master of it and getting it because you have your wizard's fingers. But
Paladin's better. Cisco's better. I'll be third.
That's one of those things. Like it is designed to sort of get the whales in. And especially for like the Darbo, or get lucky in Darbo as well. It would be nice maybe if like they maybe looked at the first to max system and maybe sort of tweaked it a little bit so it could be a bit more equal opportunity. Maybe have a ranking system up to 10 or something like that. That would be quite nice.
Yeah, because it, originally, back in the first 2-3 months of the game, first to max wasn't a thing. There was a thread on the forums where everybody was reporting new crew, and somebody would max a crew and post the picture and post their stats, and the forums, at the time, it was a lady named Becca and, God, who was the other one, Stephanie, that ran the forums, and they just made, like, an informal little spreadsheet on the forums. This is a DB employee. Mm. And they said, oh, well, let's track who gets first to max. And they started doing it. And finally, there was enough crew where they said, oh, maybe we should actually implement this. And they implemented the field. And that's why you see all the early game characters are all first to max on like May 16th, 2016, because that's the date they actually turned on that field. But the crew were actually maxed months and months and months beforehand. And they just went by that spreadsheet on the forums. And it was an honor system. There was no way to tell that didn't actually have first to max on somebody. I was just the first person to go to the forums and say, ooh, me.
No, that's interesting. Got any first to maxes, Dangevin? Have you been lucky?
Zero. Nope, never gone for one. One day. we'll see. I'm not in a big rush for it, but
I get
it looks like fun. It looks like fun to kind of race and compete and get all those equipments lined up. But I'm too much of a min-maxer. I like to go and drill down and build every single equipment one piece at a time and get my make sure I don't waste any more flux couplers than I need to. So.
Like, whoa, you've taken too many. No, I need that back. I'm glad I'm not the only one that levels up individually, just going in every step is like, no, I am getting that duplication bug. I'm only using one science experiment for this build. I am not doing a quick build.
Call it a bug. It's a feature.
Oh, of course, yes.
I'm glad they brought that feature back, because that feature was broken for a little bit. Yes.
Look at that ante. One day they'll just put a button saying, do you just want to level this crew now? And you'll just press one button and go, dunk.
If he gets fused.
Hey. Can you imagine that? Insta level. I mean, does the training thing mess you up now?
Full disclosure. When they announced it and then they dropped the change, but the change went live first on like Facebook and Steam and then it rolled out. I knew that was going to trip people up, and I didn't, because I always, like, I don't give a crap about First to Maxis. I only enjoy, like, trying to beat Cisco. And if I know Cisco's going for something, I'm like, I'm going to poke him. So I didn't know if Cisco was going to do this or not. So I went and found Facebook, which was scary, and found the game on Facebook, which was even scarier. And I started playing with the change there, and I would just get, like, a 90K pull and get a crappy 2-star crew. Mm. And I just started trying to speed level them like a normal First to Max, but trying to get the timing down. And then on a phone, it works a lot better. You can't do it on a computer. But I've gotten my muscle memory down to now tap, train, that, okay, that. It's weird. Yeah. It becomes almost musical. but I screw it up. If I'm trying to beat Cisco in something and then I fail, it's because I screwed up the rhythm of it.
Awesome. I mean you could definitely have a First to Max tutorial. I mean if you want to add more competition to the field, that is. I don't know how much.
I'm all for it. I am very happy with my number. I don't need another one. It's ridiculous the amount that I have, and I would love for any new player to do it. And I've done it for people too that have just messaged me and said, can you tell me how? And I've made a guide and walked them through it and said, here, let me show you, here's a video, here's how you do it. And anybody that wants that, come find me. Because I'll happily teach you the ways.
Just from my own personal thing, like with equipment, do you have like a lot of things like champagnes and like super rare?
That's just years of nobody to level. That they do, because for a while too, a couple of years ago, I had like 50 crew that were at various levels that were my replicator mules. Mm. They existed only so I could replicate 3-star science experiments.
Yeah, you make science experiments.
Oh, God. So I had like about a year of that where my daily replications only went to those. So I built up a pretty good sized army of that stuff. But then just not having to do anything otherwise and level crew, and like Dan said, just not speed leveling somebody, but taking my time normally, I get a lot of copies of stuff, so usually the only thing I have to build is the individual clothing or their individual item or whatever. And that's kind of the trick to it. If you're not dabboing it, and if you're racing somebody like out of a pack or portal, you've got to have a pretty good amount of that stuff built, because the delay in hitting build and the quick little 1-second animation versus just hitting the plus, that adds up.
What's your record? What's the quickest you've done it?
1:47, wow. 1:50, somewhere in there.
To find the crew on my roster, like, where are they?
I don't think you can. I like to min-max things too. I don't think you can get a lot more efficient.
Argue about time. We don't have the time.
Somebody could. I'm Paladin in his day. I probably was way more, and nobody's ever seen him do it. I don't know how he does it. I assume he just has an army of people that work for him that does it for him. I don't know. But Cisco's pretty fast too.
They have 40 instances of timelines on 40 different phones, and they just refresh. There's just like 1, 2, 3, 4, build.
Well, it always bugged me because Cisco did this the other day with the campaign, Naked Torres, Bathrobe Torres, and a card we'll talk about in a moment, a Mariner, not Rock and Roll. He got first to max within a span of 2 minutes of each other. And Paladin used to do that, but faster. And I was unsure how he could, like, do that. Like, it seemed like they happened in the same minute, and I didn't know how. Anyway, he's got to be five people on five different devices. It's got to be four kids in a trench coat or something.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Five midgets in a long raincoat.
Frank, you pointed out something interesting, though, that speaks to the way they're generating the crew lately, that there is the opportunity to kind of pre-replicate, because we're seeing a lot of the same equipment go on to crew. We'll figure out. You mentioned Champagne earlier. That's one of them. Certainly the social lessons show up all the time on almost every new crew. They're going to be some of those on there.
Everybody's got a photon grenade or something like that.
I mean, there are only a limited number of items. Like each crew, for those that don't know, only comes with two unique items, and they're built out of, there's about 200 existing items that everything is built out of, and they are, they are fairly standard, so you could just build up on every item. You've used something like there's a good tool out there on the S-Steve tool, which I use Dangevin for your chronometrics, but you know that will give you a list of all the items that you have against all the items in the game as well, and that's a great little comparison where you can go like, what do I need? And then you can use Dan's tool to plugging tools. Use the chronometrics tool to work it all out. So maybe you ought to have a first to max farmer in there, like the most recommended mules for Vertinger. I definitely had a mule for science experiments at one point, because that's just so many people need those, and that's the only way you can get them is replicate them or augment missions. It's difficult.
That's the other thing that's interesting to me, is how you use your mules for that. And I use mine strictly for galaxy. Almost all my replications go to like hyper spanners and just weird dumb stuff that only cost me a couple of credits. So it's fun. Good perspective.
But now I use Genos. Chronometrics.
Genos would like to say that your mother's a mule. And now you speak.
Okay, how about we get ravenously back on topic, and before we talk about new giveaway Mariner, how about, if I can find her, Mistress of the Winter Constellation, next week's event bonus, which will be a galaxy event. I'm so sorry. You will be able to get Bank Robber Shacks along with another Tendi from, I believe this is a season 3 episode. I forget which one. A lot of Lower Deck seasons kind of do merge together for me because they are quite rapid and fast, but I do remember her almost claiming her birthright. I believe we'll get a bit more of this in season 2. This could be Set Command Engineering, another Tendi, another Animated, another Orion. Orions are notorious in this game for not being very helpful with other collections, but her being resourceful is something, not great. I know that Orion's definitely going to be the last collection I do, because you just level Orions for Orions.
Red Alarm!
Ace Man!
Red Alarm!
Thank
Red
you
alarm.
For following. How do we feel about wasting all our precious resources and getting another Tendi? Oh, it was the TS9 one. Thank you.
Prior to joining Starfleet, Tendi was a member of the Orion Syndicate, where she seems to have developed a fearsome reputation.
Well, she kind of pales in comparison to Chance's Taken Kirk, doesn't she? So it's a little bit of a tough sell for something that a lot of us are just now arriving at our free copies, or maybe have already earned a few. Also notable that Captain Braxton, the venerable Captain Braxton, still beats her in this triplet. But
a point. So, it's not much. I think it's literally. I think mine's above it. It's literally a rounding error. I think it's beaten by a rounding error.
She's fun though. A lot of flavor in this card. Yeah. Really, I'd be really happy to see her on my voyages if she'd make it. So.
Yeah, I think you're lucky there. I mean, she does score top of her individual, like her specific set. Like the only other person that was above her was Heroic Shax, but I don't think anyone was really voyaging with him. Likely to drop. The skill set's okay, but the traits are interesting, because I could see that coming up in Fleet Boss Battles. There's a lot of unique things like Orion Duelists, and Orion. I mean, a lot of Orions are smugglers, but I don't know how many of them are desperate.
I'm just waiting for her name to break something in the game, or community tools for that matter.
Is it the longest network that's already broken on the
stream? Broken our stream, it only shows up as Mistress of the Winter Cons.
Yeah, Cons, yeah. It's too long for my display. Is it the longest name in the game?
We've
got a longer one. I'm just scrolling through here. Mira Marlena Moreau. No, not quite. I think this might be like one of the longest names in the game. I'm gonna have to do a word count soon. Someone correct me. Someone in chat. Winter constipation. Oh dear. That's next week. Next time show title, isn't it? Graduation of Amanda Graham. Lieutenant Commander Rafaela Musikirk. Yeah, that could be actually a bit longer. That's a good one. But anyway, are we going to be eventing for them? Do you want them? Will you use them? Will you love them? Will you care for them? Will you hold them tightly at night? I mean, it's Tendi, I probably would, but I am not, purely because it's a Galaxy event. That's the big thing for a lot of make or die for these cards, is what event are you getting them in? I know some people out there that love Galaxy events. They think they're the best things in the world, but they prefer them to functions.
Part of a lower deck's mini arc, because we can't call it a mega, because we just left a mega and we're going into a mega. Mm. So we can't mega. We got a mega arc mega.
The omega particle.
If we mega, then like omega, somebody mega needs to go to the doctor and get antibiotics. But you know, it's great that we're seeing awesome crew, except for the one guy that hates cartoons. Also, any Orion is a help, so you don't have to try and retrieve one of the three crappy Orions, or I guess four, and put stars on them, because they're all like 33%. Chance retrievable. So anytime something like this comes along, it helps. I'd rather four stars or three stars versus a five, but hey, at least she's usable.
She is usable. Okay, now for the final crew we shall be talking about on this week's edition of Timelines Talks. Don't know why I've gone very official, but we're going to roll with it anyway. Let's talk about Exoarchaeologist Mariner. You, my friend, you, this person watching this, if you haven't already, go to the store and get your free copy of Exoarchaeologist Mariner, which isn't completely easy to type, and I've got those vowels mixed around many times. This
vowel
is
movement. Okay.
In a vowel, yeah, I've had a serious vowel movement with that one. You get your one joke. There it is. So this is, you can get three more copies through the objective event, which I think is the first time we've seen a gauntlet objective in there, because I know this is probably the first one I haven't completed on day two, so you have to get something like 250 gauntlet completions. You don't have to win them, you just have to complete the mission. So that's that I like, is quite fair for people who don't have the optimal gauntlet crew, or don't have the crew for the certain walls that crop up and can at least chip away at that over a month. But the others are fairly standard, including some Cerritos schematics as well, which is a great little thematic nod. It's a great ship. I know some people were very happy to see that in there. As for the card, Psi Engineering and Diplomacy, voyage rank 77. Do you put the sight on it? Do you put the if you love it, would you put a sight on it? No, that's not how the song goes, but hey.
Yeah, if you're buying every campaign, you just don't need to. So she'll sit around. But I think she's the best free crew we've gotten in this skill triplet ever. So I mean, if you're starting out, this actually has some pretty good legs to it. It's not the top of the voyage ranks,
big meaty legs.
It's actually a playable card. I know that it would be heresy if Otto were on the stream right now and he would say, no, this is do not put your sights on these. But I think that there's an argument for anybody in their first couple of years of playing this game to really get a good long lifetime of use out of this if we put a sight on her.
She is holding a golden idol, gotta be something worth something.
We had the many-handed idol the other day, and now we have the golden idol. Like this, it's just my week.
Unless you're Pokemon and you got to catch them all, got to immortalize them all, which don't do that. If you're out there thinking about playing that way, don't. Stop. Get help. She's okay. She's useful, but yeah, if you can afford a crew slot. 4 out of 5, leveled up to 100. If you find use for her in a year, that's great. Otherwise, she can sit there and as soon as she hits the portal, hey, there's your next retrieval and done. Because in a year, that voyage rank of 77 could be 137. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to go down. I mean, she sits in like sixth of her triplet at the moment. It's Not great, but it's a fun card. I think if you're definitely, if this is the card that brings you into the game and you get given this card, four copies of this card and a sight, that's not entirely a bad thing. But there are a lot better crew. I mean, especially just in Dip Psy, never mind the engineering top as well. Like, we've got, sorry, I'm frantically...
Well, let me ask you this while you're frantically having a stroke. So we're in the middle of an honor sale where you too can get an honor citation and a behold for 40,000 honor. So let's say you accumulate four citations and you look at your crew. Is this one of the crew that gets one of those four citations, or do you go for some like older decrepit cards that you can throw a side on, which is always never do that, but you can get somebody out of there, maybe get closer to a collection because she's only got two.
Well, let's talk about value per site, though. So if we're only needing to spend one of our citations to get her up, even if we got the best crew in the game, but you've only earned one star on them from an event, then that's dumping four sites to max them out. You're pretty close to being at her optimal value at the time when she's going to be most relevant for you. I think there's far worse investments.
I mean, looking at her, just the skill pair, just the Cyan, like, you've got Tobin O'Brien at the top, who is not in Portal. You've got EV Suit Tendi, who is not in Portal. Then her, below her, just about, is Caretaker Taurus. And then below that is Hollow Engineer Zimmerman, who is a great Voyager. But, yeah, and then below that, you know, various array of cards. So she's up there-ish. Shouldn't, you know, if you didn't get Barclay and Neelix, if you didn't get Hollow Data, there's a lot of cards you could not have where she would be useful for free. And then you'll get EV Suit Tendi, like, drop in a random pack somewhere and you go, oh, well, time for the freeze of her. Or Albert Macklin, even, someone like that. It's an interesting, not amazing, but I love the moment. I love the card because it's got a little golden me in it, so why wouldn't I love it? And Frank, you've been neglecting your duties on this one.
Yes. In an attempt to find herself, Mariner is transferred to the Independent Archaeologist Guilds. However, despite her adventures to save the Golden Idol, she realizes that she misses Starfleet. First flavor text in a while to have multiple sentences with lots of punctuation. Normally it's a big run-on. Good job. Flavor rating. Tier 3.
A tier 3 flavor. I miss flavor tiering. Auto back for flavor.
Wow, look at him try.
Okay, well, gentlemen, I believe it is now time to play Guess the Tier from the Old Big Book of Behold Advice 2019. And I can't play any more of that because we'll get copyright strike. So, gentlemen, if you would like to care to indulge me, usually I play with Stars and Auto because they are the primary authors of this, but I thought I'd play this with some other people as well. I have a copy here of the Big Book of Behold Advice, dated, I believe, last stats update, the 23rd of February 2019, and I'm going to pick a random crew, and you shall determine what the tier is. And this is on a 1 to 14 scale, back when the Big Book was 1 to 14. So please tell me what tier Admiral Riker was. We'll do a best of five, I think.
You got to give me a minute to look him up here, but I think we just talked about him on the honor stream recently. So is he the one that's got some decent proficiencies, right?
Well, bear in mind, this is before fleet boss battles, before retrieval. Oh, yeah. This is in the heyday when everything was starting to stagnate a bit.
Yeah.
He was a middling gauntlet at 45%. He was an old card that was not really recommended for anything. And if he came along in a behold, you would want to pick somebody else, even in 2019, more so that's true today. I am going to go out on a limb and say he was tier 11.
Interesting.
I mean, he's not great. I don't want to be the Admiral Riker apologist here, but I think he's better than that. His proficiencies are strangely even. I'm looking here on Big Book, datacore.app. And so they're all four and 500s across the board for his command of sec. I mean, I'm going to go tier 9.
Tier 9. We've also got a 9 from Genos. We've got an 11 from Roy Kirk, a 12 from Eric Nesson. It is, in fact, tier 11 point for Frank and Roy Kirk. Roy Kirk took a point as well. Still condescending as ever to cadets, and Marika no longer has the bite to back up his bark. The old Gauntlet powerhouse has been relegated to a newer player asset where a middling event count, bland skill set, and poor numbers combine to make a frankly boring card. The pilot Mega may have given him relevance on some rosters, but the few eventable traits, not as controversial to say, his best days are behind them. But he is now irretrievable, so you should probably take him because you can't get him anywhere else. Anyway, right, let's spin it again. I should really put this in some sort of wheel form. Let's have a look in.
It's all wheels.
It's all wheels all the way down. How about mirror data?
God, what garbage. Okay. Was he ever good? Oh, man. I'm going to lead off on this one, and I think this is an easy tier 12. And I don't have anything to back that up other than just gut, but he was just never good.
I'm having to look him up in game because I'm trying to think back to 2019. I'm not cheating with an old copy of the Big Book, don't worry. Or am I?
Or are you?
Do I even own mirror data on this account? That would be embarrassing. I do not. Okay, that's embarrassing. Okay, that's fine. Or is it not embarrassing? Because several traits, however, this predates Big Book, this predates crew retrieval. Voyages were a thing. He had some voyage use in that skill set. And he was a part of two collections at that point. And he was in the Mirror Mega that brought us Mirror Picard, Mirror Crusher. And he was absolutely and correctly maligned for his horrific art. I am going to actually say tier 9.
Tier 9. So we've got tier 12, tier 9. We've got a 4 and a 7 in chat. It was actually tier 3. The Mr. Potato Head of Trek characters. Many of Data's variants seem to have the same solid core with some external tweaks from crew to crew. That's not a bad thing. They're all pretty reliable and Mirror is among the best. Data plus Mirror events number at near 20. He was, yeah, I won't read the whole thing, but he was Voyager number 91 at the time. Reasonable. I mean, it's all subjective ratings from a madman who wrote these for a living, so there you go. Well, not for a living anyway. Let's spin again.
We should cut his pay.
Should cut something off him. Okay, let's stick with a theme. Mirror Zephram Cochran.
Shut up, Otto, you moron.
Cochran, today he's useful because of fleet boss battles. At the time, he was a unique skill set, but not huge on, because the proficiencies for science and engineering almost match, the bases. Proficiencies, big science, little that. Oh boy. Lots of collections, but back then he would have had Innovator and.
That's true,
Inspiring.
Yeah, there were a lot less collections as well. Predates.
I'm going to say. Oh God, when did he debut? Was he in a Tuesday pack? I don't remember.
I'm literally looking into the past then. I could see the wavy lines.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I'm going to say, based on how I was just really wrong, Paladin got first to max in 2018. Okay, this crew came out in 2018. Early 2018, the game in 2018. Okay, Mirror Cochran.
Real stream of consciousness here.
Tier 6.
Tier 6, interesting.
All right, so I see a card that's got the exact same skill order as the card we just looked at. Came out a year later. It looks like it's weaker on paper, but one more collection. I think that year is going to make a lot of difference, and so I'm going to go to tier 8.
Tier 8. It was indeed tier 6, Voyager number 100, 2 points to Frank, and Roy Kirk as well. Roy Kirk on the money with that one as well. You guys are aligned in thought. Not enough, says Frank. If you remember how a mediocre card came into the game, you're amazing or need help.
Help.
Right, spinning this one.
General Chang. General Chang. To be or not to be, that is the question.
Despite being a command upsec, I remember him being relatively strong. Oh man, he's so old though. He always had those two collections, I guess.
Yeah, and one at the time.
Yeah. No, I'm completely wrong about that. He sucks. Tier 11.
Tier 11, Tier 11. Yeah.
I think it is some other Klingon.
He was... his artwork was gorgeous. Still is. It was wonderful to get one of the best villains in Star Trek ever. And those stats, as shitty as those are stats of the time. But for the writing of this... and the tiering of this, oh, boy.
Gonna have to put you a timer here.
I'm gonna say, would you say 11?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do 12.
It was, in fact, tier 13. Voyager number 157, can you believe it, at the time? In a time when there is only 158 crew. No, there's more than that.
Can I just say, though, I love that you leaned into the mic to ruminate there, and it, man, that's, I think we're all winners when we can get that aspect out of your voice.
All right, let's do one more, and then we'll call it again. How about Gangster Kirk? 2019 Gangster Kirk.
I'm not even gonna look. He was used by a lot of people because I remember a lot of people had him. A lot of people had him as their avatars and their bridge crew. And I remember roughly when he came in. I'm gonna say, oh, but this is 2019 when Otto and Stars are writing the notes.
Consult the pen.
Tier 7.
I think higher. This, I don't know. It's a Kirk, so I think that gives it a lot of brownie points to begin with. A couple of collections, you know, whatever. Command Ipsuck, they all were. Weren't all the crew Command Ipsuck back then? Every single crew.
Yeah, pretty much everyone was, yeah.
I'll go tier 5.
Tier 5. Point to Danjavin, it was indeed tier 5. Sorry, right. Siri Lamb, we missed your question earlier. Apologies. We were stuck in our stream of consciousness now. Let me scroll up. What was your question? What store are we talking about? We're talking about the Timeline store, as in the time portal from Star Trek Timelines, because we're here on Timelines Talks talking about Star Trek Timelines for Timelines people. Team. I love saying team. Okay, anyway, so we'll wrap that up here. Thank you everyone for coming. We will be back on Sunday. We'll be doing a season 2 of Strange New Worlds review of the whole season, just how our thoughts on that. So please jump in. It's going to be a fairly longish one, so settle down with your favorite blanket and, you know, really fall to sleep in the moment as we lull you into a fair and balanced scientific rating of the season.
We're gonna have that, 5 musical numbers.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. The keyboard is definitely coming out again. And then after that, we'll be returning the following Wednesday. We'll be returning to Klingon Honor Guard and making your blood scream as we do that. But for now, and someone needs to play it for Cranky, because I think he's fallen asleep. Hang on, let me do it, because you can't have it without one of these. There it is. Thank you, Danjavin. Thank you, mate. We will be back. We'll be back very soon. Check the Discord. Check for all the events coming up on there, and also on our YouTube page. I tend to put them up on there as well. For now, we will see you soon. Ta-ra.
It's all set.
What's all set?
I got Hooker lined up with a dude who's going to give him the deal of a lifetime on a new Porsche.
A Porsche?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you should wait. You might get a better deal through the state.
Yeah?
Yeah, we just did some story on a guy who's selling stolen Porsches off a lot on Maine. Real sleazy character.
What's his name?
Delvin, Kelvin,
Melvin?